relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Fauci wasn't elected by anybody, was he? And who elected Jimmy Kimmel? Why is Jimmy Kimmel lecturing us on medicine, on what we do with our bodies and what we put in our bodies? Because he is Video Cut 5.
But there is a simple way to protect yourself and to protect those around you. And all you have to do is get the vaccine. A little shot, you're protected. It's free. Millions of people around the world got it. There are virtually zero serious side effects. But somehow people are still like, I'm not letting anyone tell me what to do, which is, I don't know. That's like deciding you're not going to stop at red lights. Why should I? Government can't tell me how to drive my own car.
It's exactly the same. It is what I put, what experimental pharmaceutical thing I put in my body is exactly the same as traffic laws. Am I right, Shad?
Yeah, you know, especially since if you run a red light, you know, a cop will find you and arrest you.
Right.
Slash, you will get ticketed. I mean, I sure hope we don't get to that point with the vaccine.
Oh, very good point. Very good point. One other cut I have to share with you before we go to our next guest is the lady who bears the title Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Very strange response to a simple question. Cut 12, play cut.
The Supreme Court this fall will review a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I am a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of 5 children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it a human being? I support Roe v. Wade. Is that the kind of answer you used to getting from the Speaker of the House? Congressman Minority Whip, Steve Scalise, welcome.
Sebastian, always great to be back with you, my friend.
Does she ever answer questions clearly, Congressman?
Oh, my gosh. This is not a complicated question or answer. Very straightforward.
Yes or no?
It's either a baby or it's not.
Right.
It's viable. It feels pain. We know that. And if you want to brag about how many children you have, can't you at least acknowledge which side you're on? It's a straightforward question. She doesn't want to admit that she's for murdering her baby when it's born outside the womb. Sebastian, she is blocking the Born Alive Act, which says
yes.
If a baby after 9 months or an attempted abortion at 8 months comes out of the womb alive, and it happens. There are abortion survivors. I've met many of them. They actually have a network of people across the country who survived abortions. And in some states, New York being one, if the baby's born alive, they can still murder it and call it abortion.
Yeah.
And we have a bill to ban that, and Nancy Pelosi won't bring that bill to the floor. She's against it. That isn't even a discussion about whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. Most pro-choice Americans know that that's murder. And yet Nancy Pelosi won't even answer that. It's just when you look at liberals, they don't want to be candid with people when confronted. When Kamala Harris was asked last week by Lester Holt of NBC News about the border, and she said, yeah, I've been to the border, and we've been to the border. And he confronts her, and he says, actually, no, you haven't been to the border. And her response after getting caught in a lie is not to admit she lied. It's to say, well, I haven't been to Europe either. And then she started laughing. I know you've seen that video.
Oh, we have used it. We have used it.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And she thinks this is a joke. And she gets caught in a lie. And instead of acknowledging it, she just tells another story that it shows that she doesn't care about protecting America's border. There are people that came across from Middle Eastern countries on the terrorist watch list in the last 4 months and crossed our border, and they can find our southern border, and yet the vice president of the United States can't find the southern border. Well, you know, people are watching this stuff. People are disgusted by what they're doing.
And how significant was the decision we heard recently that despite being more than 80 days in the position of czarina for the border, Kamala Harris hasn't gone, but in just a few days' time, President Trump will go to the border, Congressman?
I can't wait to see President Trump go back to the border. Of course, he's been many times. He was building the wall. He was securing our border. He got an agreement with Mexico. Mexico was spending their own money not only to secure our southern border, but to secure Mexico's southern border. And he even got an arrangement with the Northern Triangle countries, the countries in South and Central America, who right now are probably sending more of the people who are crossing illegally than any other countries because Joe Biden eviscerated those agreements. It's unbelievable. He's cut a deal with Putin to let Putin build a pipeline, the Nord Stream pipeline, to Germany. He kills the American pipeline with Canada, Keystone, kills thousands of jobs in America, then gives Putin financial incentives from America to build a Russian pipeline. So if pipelines are bad, that's one thing. But for him to say the only pipelines he doesn't like are American pipelines that create American jobs and give America energy security, he's for Russian pipelines that give Russians jobs and gives Russians energy security against America. We're paying higher prices at the pump. You see inflation across the board on everything. You know, over 45% increase in gas prices, but you've seen it on lumber, you've seen it on steel, you see it at the grocery store. You're buying meat today, you're paying more. If you buy a used car, you're paying more than 30% more today for that used car than a year ago. And if you want to buy an appliance, good luck, you need to wait 6 months to get a basic appliance for your household. That's all under Joe Biden because of his policies. This guy has destroyed so much already about what makes America great. We've got to stop him from destroying more. We got to get the house back next year, and I'm very focused, and we all are, on doing that.
Are you feeling optimistic?
Very, very. When you go around the country, and I get to go to a lot of other places, recruiting great candidates, raising money, people are donating in larger amounts than we've ever seen before. But they're also more concerned about the direction of the country than ever before because they see such a radical socialist left push by Speaker Pelosi, by Joe Biden, by all the people around him that are laying out all these radical things to do. And they're rising up against it. I think you're going to see very large turnouts on our side next year. And you might see record retirements amongst Democrats in the next year because they know, like Charlie Crist recently said, he's going to run for governor of Florida, not because he thinks he can beat Ron DeSantis, but because he knows if he runs for re-election in Congress, we'll beat him.
And aren't you buoyed by the amount? Every day we have new videos and we get them on the show, whether it's Tatiana Ibrahim from New York, whether it's from Virginia, from Loudoun County, that amazing teacher, Lilith Venetian, the people who are pushing back on the bigotry and the ideology from the left, such as critical race theory. Isn't that also a very positive sign, Congressman?
It is. I mean, there's a huge backlash against critical race theory, against shutting down schools when Biden and the liberals in Washington bow down to the teachers unions against the kids. All the science says get the kids back in school. And they knew that. But they knew also if they did the right thing for our children in America, that the teachers union would be offended.
Yeah.
So they discarded what was best for millions of American children and just gave the teachers unions what they wanted. People are rising up against all this. You've seen it at school board meetings, you know, and there's no more local government than a school board meeting. My gosh, you've got parents finding out who their local school board member is today more than ever before, going to the meetings, lashing out at these radical leftists who are ruining our kids' futures and telling them right to their faces, we're going to run against you, and they're going to beat a lot of these nuts. And these aren't just Republicans doing this. There are Democrats that are done with this, too, that want school choice, like you and I have wanted school choice for a long time.
It's massively exciting. I have to get your response to something that, shockingly, Biden said from the headquarters of NATO, breaking all kinds of rules on political decorum. He analyzed your party and the state of the GOP. Play cut.
I think it's a appropriate to say that the Republican Party is vastly diminished in numbers. The leadership of the Republican Party is fractured. And the Trump wing of the party is the bulk of the party, but it makes up a significant minority of the American people. And we'll see.
He broke the rule of politics ending at the border. He said that from the headquarters at NATO. We've only got 1 minute left. Your response to his analysis of your party?
How weak and pathetic of him when he was overseas, would not stand up to Putin, wouldn't even stand on the stage next to Putin as Putin is lying, saying the hacks were coming from America instead of Russia. Instead, he tries to give this false spin on the division. Why? Because his party's never been more divided. Look, you had Tlaib attacking Pelosi for calling out Omar, who's going after Israel. Within their party, you've seen a growing anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party in Congress. Biden won't stand up against that. You know, why isn't he vocally saying we're going to support Israel's right to defense and replenishing the Iron Dome because they had to shoot thousands of missiles to keep Israelis safe from attacks from Hamas, Iran back. Look, this guy has not stood up to the bullies around the world, and they see it. They smell fear. They're testing him. And unfortunately, President Biden is failing those tests.
America last, as opposed to what this man represents, America first. He is the House Republican Whip, RepublicanWhip.gov, representing Louisiana's 1st Congressional District. Follow him at Steve Scalise. God bless you and happy Father's Day. This is America First. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That incredible story is one of tens of thousands. See the incredible video testimonials at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call them right now. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. You deserve to find out. You could be the next success story, and there's only one way to find out. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Call them now. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
Yes, indeed. Magnificent. That should be a brand of something, shouldn't it? Your magnificent candy bar or your magnificent 1911 45 ACP handgun. Something should be magnificent. Copyright that now, Mr. G. Get on the case. He's busy. He's working hard. Why? Because he's not just the producer of a daily national radio show. Poof, that's just half of his job. He also helps me with my Newsmax show, which this Sunday is the deep dive on the new Marxism, critical race theory, incredible guests, everything you need to know. The Gorka Reality Check, Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern. Download the Newsmax app. You do not want to miss a second of this or any episode of the Gorka Reality Check. Newsmax, Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Eastern. Be there. And this is... Jeff is working so hard. We are going to be hosting... Is that the royal we? I, with the assistance of Mr. G, will be hosting Grant Stinchfield's show this evening, which is called, I do believe, Stinchfield. 8 p.m. on Newsmax. He's doing something important, and I will be having a lot of fun in front of the cameras. Newsmax, 8 p.m. Eastern, Stinchfield with me, Dr. G. Okay, we are starting to get back into the heavy lifting of analysis on our website, sebgorka.com. the professor has just finished an article. He finished one on critical race theory. Now he's done one on the transgender agenda. I'm going to finish my final edits, and it will be up there for you on Monday. But first, I wanted to talk about that. But first, I'm going to unleash the krakens of the professor and Eric, given the fact that a decision has been made. We've got a new federal holiday. It's called Juneteenth. I think it's just silliness. I think Shad does too. Eric's a little bit more hot under the collar. Eric, what does Juneteenth say to you?
I only realized this recently when I read an article that talked about, oh, Biden signing a bill to make a new holiday, 12th federal holiday overall, first in about 40 years since MLK Day established by Reagan in the 80s.
Are you against new holidays?
I am against the context under which this holiday has been introduced and the subtext of the bill itself. First off,
context? Subtext. Give us context.
Well, context, obviously, Black Lives Matter. A friend of mine actually showed this to me, pointed out to me. Google search trends over the last decade, Juneteenth, non-existent. It only suddenly became a recent phenomenon that spiked in search results right after the George Floyd and all the race riots last year. So you can feel that there's this narrative being pushed that suddenly this holiday that was a little more obscure.
Let's stop. Okay, first, let's put in the broader context. For most people who, as you said, have no idea. I mean, this what on earth is this? Okay, Galveston, Texas, general rolls in and says, there may be the Emancipation Proclamation, but on this day, all slaves are free. So this is the celebration on this date that apparently did exist maybe at a local level as a celebration named Juneteenth. Zero. I mean, I've lived in America for 13 years. Zero national visibility until maybe last year. Maybe it trickled into the conscience last year or began to. Now it is a federal. This kind of came out of nowhere. Because the GOP acquiesced. Why do you have a problem with it, Eric?
Well, when I read the language of the bill and what the name of the holiday is, the formal name of the holiday is not just Juneteenth. It's, quote, Juneteenth National Independence Day. That's the full name of the holiday. And I did a triple take there. I'm like, wait a minute. Call me crazy. I'm pretty sure we already have an Independence Day, don't we? It's July 4th. This really, in that context, this is the 1619 of holidays. This is their effort to basically say, oh, July 4th isn't the real Independence Day because we still had slavery. This is the real Independence Day. And also the cleverness of 1619, the whole idea is it's 1 year before 1620, which is the year the Pilgrims came here. So they say, oh, the real founding year of America was just before the official one. Okay. And now this new holiday, it's a month before the real.
So Eric has challenged us. He says, call me crazy. Professor Shadrach, is he crazy?
So I guess the question that I have is, so other than it just saying that in the title, is there any language in the bill that explicitly considers this a comparison to Independence Day?
I'm not familiar with that particular part of whether or not it compares this to July 4th or not, but the name alone says enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, language has power, but you have to, you know, like, cement that power, and you have to actually communicate that to a populace. Like, nobody's actually calling it that. You only heard that because you looked it up. Like, that might be something that's put into the bill, but in order for this to have something like a tangible impact in the way that you're arguing, you know, I would have to call it that.
Hang on. Latest input, listening to radio this morning in D.C., there was no statement at the end who paid for it, but there was a public service announcement announcing Juneteenth as an ad, and they did say Independence Day in this. So it's definitely part of the packaging, although I agree with Shad, most people have no idea. Why for you, Shad, is this just a big nothing burger?
Well, the one reason I, you know, I'm upset about it is because every one of my friends got the day off and I didn't. But,
those evil animals.
I know. Well, it wasn't a federal holiday until, you know, literally yesterday. But look, unless, of course, you know what Eric is saying.
How dedicated is he to this show? I mean, that is my question.
I'm here on a federal holiday. Okay. Unless, of course, it is as Eric says, and that this is a conceited effort to undermine Independence Day as the primary day of independence in the United States of America, I see no problem in celebrating emancipation explicitly. Now, if we're talking about America, right, as a post-slavery society, which I firmly believe that it is, right, and that institutional racism is something that is non-existent, if not diminished drastically, then we should be celebrating the moment in which that occurred.
Yeah.
Right? The moment in which, you know, emancipation is a huge deal. Now, you know, civil rights have Martin Luther King Day, you know, and that's a very important day as well. But, like, the foundation of America's...
This is so interesting. Why is there no Emancipation Day? This is interesting.
And that's... And, you know, from what I'm seeing, from the outside looking in, that's what this is supposed to be.
Okay, so let's stop it. This is where Dr. G gets to inject himself into the discussion. Nevertheless... And I like that logic. And on the top, eventually, this is going to be such a non-starter because even the word is dumb. I mean, it's not going to, Juneteenth isn't going to resonate with anybody. And in no way, shape, or fashion that comes close to July 4th. However, to Eric's point, isn't it problematic, to use the left's phrase, that this occurred now with the BLM riots, 1619, doesn't that give you a little bit of a kind of question mark above it all?
Well, yeah, there's definitely a question mark, okay. Right? But until I can see some tangible harms...
So you don't see this as a battle won for the crazies?
No, I don't. And if it's anything, it's just a bone, right?
It's just a what?
It's a bone being thrown, right? Okay. You know, and if it's just a bone being thrown... I mean, calling something a holiday is a very easy way to get a lot of people to stop talking about something. It's a very easy way to get people to shut up, okay. Right? And unless I can see something, you know, spooky coming out of it, I frankly wouldn't care less.
Here's my suggestion. I think both of you need to crack a cold one over this issue. Mr. G... Final word. You got 10 seconds. Juneteenth, could you care less?
I was given free parking today in Arlington because it was a holiday. They updated it very quickly.
The pragmatist, as ever. That's why he's the producer. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Next, Gordon Chang on the post-summit reality of Sleepy Creepy. Don't forget, tonight, 8 p.m. Newsmax, I'll be hosting Stinchfield. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back, dear friends. Happy Friday and happy Father's Day for you fathers out there this weekend. We're still analyzing, dissecting the blowback from the so-called Putin summit, the G7, and having a man who bears the title of president stand at the pulpit. Pulpit? Probably not a pulpit at NATO. Probably standing on the stage and giving his speech from NATO headquarters, bashing one of the political parties in America, something we've never seen since the creation of NATO back in April of 1949. Let's dissect all of this and so much more with our good friend, the author of the great U.S.-China tech war, Gordon Chang. Follow him on Twitter at Gordon M. Chang. Gordon, welcome back. Gordon G. Chang. I always get that wrong. Stop it, Gorka. Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Seb.
All right. First things first, Beijing and Pyongyang, what do you think their take-home was from the last few days viewing the various summits in Europe?
Well, we know that the Chinese and Russians were conspiring beforehand, Seth, because on the day before Biden met Putin, both Russia and China conducted large-scale military exercises off the coast of East Asia. They were separate exercises, but they were obviously coordinated. And really what they were doing is telling the United States, look, the China-Russia partnership is solid. There's nothing Biden can do to break Moscow off from Beijing. So I thought that was the real story there.
And how significant is it? We had one of our other guests. We had, I think it was, yes, Victor Davis Hansen make the comment. It's such a fabulous observation that we had Putin use Democrat talking points about violence in America, racial justice, and Black Lives Matter in exactly the same fashion that the chief communist diplomat used at the U.S.-China summit in Anchorage. Well, it's never a good sign, is it, Gordon Chang, when our two most serious enemies are reading from the same hymn sheet of ideological verbiage that is coming from certain domestic players inside America?
Yes. Well, this started from Biden's January 26 executive order on xenophobia, and it's continued since then. And China has picked this up and just uses it almost daily against the United States. So we shouldn't be surprised that Beijing's semi-good friend, Putin, is doing the same thing. And it really was noticeable when you saw what the Russians were saying about the United States. So clearly, right now, we have Biden reinforcing both Moscow and Beijing talking points.
And what is going to be the next thing that you expect to occur in terms of Chinese behavior in the region with regards to Taiwan, our allies in Southeast Asia? We see Russia constantly doing this prodding action as they did during the Cold War, just pushing, testing our reaction time. Is there something concrete? Is there a territory that people should be watching more than before?
Well, it will be Chinese military exercises around Taiwan. Starting in January, they started at a very fast pace, almost daily incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone. And then after the summit between President Biden and Prime Minister Suga in Washington, it dropped off. And then it started again on Tuesday with the largest such exercise ever. I expect to see more of the Chinese saber-rattling, and clearly this is going to be something that Biden will have to respond to, because the Chinese are saying they can do anything they want. What you going to do about it?
Yeah. You have the best connections. Tell us how the people in Taiwan are feeling right now, Gordon.
They're very defiant for a number of reasons. In Taiwan, they don't consider themselves Chinese. When we look at self-identification surveys, upwards of about 83-84% identify as Taiwanese only. And those who identify as Chinese only has been dropping. It's now in the low single digits. And that's a real indication that Taiwan says, yeah, of course we want good relations with Beijing. Who doesn't? But we're not part of China, and don't even think about it.
What about the political elite?
The political elite is divided because remember, Chiang Kai-shek came to the island in 1949 after he lost the first phase of the Chinese Civil War, which is continuing. And the Chinese elite very much are close to the elite in Beijing. Of course, they have strong disagreements, but they have common objectives, which is one united China.
Yeah.
Now, the Taiwanese elite, they certainly don't buy into that. They believe that they're a separate country, which indeed they are.
We are talking to Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. You've got to get his latest book, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America First.
I'm going to do something a little bit different now, if you'll indulge me, dear listeners and viewers. We have somebody on the line who I respect highly, who has become so invaluable to our understanding of, as far as I can am concerned, the greatest strategic threat we face. This is something I learned in the White House. It's not ISIS, it's not Iran, it's not Russia. We can deal with those threats. The only true peer competitor of a strategic heft is the last communist regime that spans multiple time zones the way that China does. So I'm going to ask Gordon Chang, the author of The Great U.S. China Tech War. Gordon, will you just take a moment? We have a slightly longer segment here with you. Will you take a moment to explain why China is not like every other country. Why we're not talking about China? This isn't France, Germany. This isn't even Russia. This is a truly qualitatively different kind of beast.
Well, no nation in or no society in history has been more ambitious than China. China's leaders right now, Xi Jinping, believes he not only has a right to rule the world, he is compelled by the heavens to do so. And indeed, he doesn't confine his ambitions to planet Earth. His officials since 2018 have been talking about the moon and Mars should be considered part of the People's Republic of China. In other words, they talk about those heavenly bodies like the South China Sea, theirs and theirs alone. And they also talk, and they're quite explicit about this, about excluding other nations if they get there first and can plant the flag. So this is ambition like we have never seen. And we've got to understand the Chinese are willing to use malicious tactics to do it, including spreading disease. That's more than 600,000 Americans have succumbed to this, more than 3.8 million people around the world.
We're going to talk about China's deadliest export in a moment, but beyond, you know, ambition is the one thing. Every nation should have ambitions, but talk about what it means to live in communist China, because I think many people, and especially business leaders here in America, Gordon, they think, well, you know, it's not exactly America, but, you know, there's a kind of market there and people can buy stuff. So it's not really communism. Can you disabuse those who believe in that? Well, what's it like to actually be a Chinese subject?
Yeah, Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, is moving China away from authoritarianism to totalitarianism. He's not quite there yet, so I would describe the system as semi-totalitarian. And so to give you an example, they're trying to knit together various social credit systems in China into a nationwide one. And their goal is that they can observe all behaviors and then give each citizen a constantly updated score. And they believe that those with low scores, in other words, those who criticize the Communist Party, those who jaywalk or whatever, they should not be allowed to leave their homes. That's their ambition. Now, they're not there yet, but they've been very clear about what they intend to do. And by the way, Seb, once they finish their social credit system for China, they're going to, I think, extend it to the world. They're already taking video feeds from Vancouver and feeding it into their social credit systems, which means that they have ambitions to surveil the entire planet.
But this isn't just social credit scores being applied across the world. This is still a country, Gordon, that has slave labor camps, correct?
It does. It has, with the Uyghurs and the Kazakhs and the other Turkic minorities, by the tens of thousands, they offer labor to foreign and domestic companies. And those that labor is provided in concentration camp-like facilities. There's institutionalized rape. There's brutality. There is incarceration in these concentration camps. And we know that people are dying in those camps, Seb, because China's building crematoria next to them.
Yeah.
This is also genocide, as defined in the Genocide Convention of 1948. Yeah. So China's committing atrocities, and it's committing them across the board.
We're talking to Gordon Chang. Follow him right now on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. Let's return to the issue of China's deadliest export, the coronavirus. You can call me cynical if you wish. I think we're never, ever going to know the truth of whether this was manufactured or not, whether it came out of the lab or not, simply because this is a one-party state. Do you have any confidence that we will get to the bottom of what really happened, given that this is a communist nation?
Well, I hope that we will. You know, the one thing, Seb, you know, you're right. They are doing their best to prevent the international community from finding out about the origins. But the Chinese people themselves are trying to tell the world. And every once in a while, we see a defector, for instance, like Dr. Li Mingyang, like the one who was rumored to have left in February, who was the head of counterintelligence for the Ministry of State Security. That's not confirmed, but we are learning that brave Chinese souls are not willing to put up with the coercion, and they want the world to know what their regime did.
Is that a sign of weakness? Does that mean that Xi Jinping isn't the god emperor he would like himself to be if there are actual subjects of the communist regime who are prepared at the risk of not just imprisonment but potentially death to tell the truth about the release of the coronavirus?
Yeah, that is a weakness of every system like China's. But particularly China right now, I think, is starting. You can see society start to come apart a little bit. Now, Xi Jinping has been, as I mentioned, increasing coercion, increasing his controls. So it's a struggle between many people in China and the Communist Party itself.
Are you an optimist when it comes to China?
I'm very, very worried because we could lose our country, Seb. China's attacks on us are so malicious and so effective. They're overwhelming us. And if we don't fight back all with all our might, we will lose our country.
They have a plan. It's called unrestricted warfare. They have a strategy. It's called One Belt, One Road. Educate yourself. Follow this man, Gordon G. Chang, on Twitter and check out his latest work, The Great U.S.-China Tech War. Thank you. God bless you, Gordon, for doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. There's too much defunding and cancellation happening around us right now, and so cell phone companies are guilty as well by supporting left-wing causes that take away or threaten our freedoms. Not Patriot Mobile. They're America's only Christian conservative cell phone carrier with the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They've proven they deserve your trust as they've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to causes that you care about. The First Amendment, the Second Amendment, veterans, the sanctity of life, and so much more. Now is the time as we celebrate our freedoms and independence to check out Patriot Mobile. Service is value. Switch now, keep your old number, and choose from 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1-year commitment and free premier activation either way. And on top of the initial discounts as well, easy to switch. Go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA or call their incredibly highly rated US-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Switch with trust and get the truth. Join the good guys. Discounts, free activation with the promo code GORKA. That's patriotmobile.com, 972-PATRIOT, 972-728-7468. Do it today.
America First. Magnificent.
It's such, I think, an obvious point, but I guess for some, it isn't. China, it's just different. It's not the fact that it's Asian or huge. It's the fact that it is still Mao's China. Yes, I know that they've got a massive economy. Yes, I know they make high-tech stuff or they steal high-tech stuff and then they copy it. But it's still a state where if you go and have an election, there's going to be one party on the ballot and one party alone. It's still a state where if you say the wrong thing about that party, you will be on the wrong side of the law. It's still a nation where when there's a crisis, when there's emergency, just as like Chernobyl in the Soviet Union, it's not the truth of how that event occurred. It is whether or not it does damage to the elite and to the party that is the measure. I think it's, unless we, like Gordon said, unless we have that key defector who comes from the Wuhan lab who brings the evidence of the coronavirus being engineered, come forth with that evidence, why would we ever know
It's a dictatorship. They have no interest in telling us because it would weaken them and the party. So here's the so what of it all. Why are we in business with China? Okay, you want to have cheaper products, I get it. But at what cost? What if everyone that went into that Nike store knew that the trainers for sale were built with parts, with subcomponents from slave labor camps? We are lectured by the authors of the 1619 Project, by the race-hustling, critical race theory propagandists, that slavery is such an issue that it is still dominating U.S. politics. We have no slave camps. We have no slave labor camps. China does. But is BLM protesting about that? Are there woke protesters outside Nike stores? No. Why? Because, again, the truth doesn't matter. Except here on America First. That's our mission every single day, to give you up-to-the-date news, push back on the lies, the propagandists, and just make sure that we all come together to save this, the greatest nation on God's earth. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Have a blessed Father's Day. And as ever, more apt than ever, let's leave you with the words of President Trump.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.